You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kahn. Thanks for being here. We're getting the latest information on pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome. It's a very rare disease. It's associated with the coronavirus in children and teens. And dozens of cases have been reported around the U.S., including some here in Wisconsin. What do you want to know about how the coronavirus could be presenting in children? Has your child been exposed to someone with COVID-19 and now you're concerned about this new disease? Join in 800-642-1234. We have two physicians from Children's Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee. Dr. Megan Schultz is an emergency care specialist. Dr. Schultz, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Sheila Hansen is here, a critical care specialist. Dr. Hansen, welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Dr. Hansen, let's start with you. Last week, Children's Hospital announced it had identified 7 suspected cases. Can you give us some understanding what this disease is?
Yes. We're still learning a lot about it. It's in the early days. But it's felt to be a post-infectious syndrome, meaning different symptoms in pediatric patients that occurs after COVID exposure. And these symptoms typically start with fever, 3-4 days, abdominal pain. But the worrisome part is there's often some cardiac complications associated with it. Either the heart's not beating right or the heart function isn't correct. But there can be multiple systems affected, which is why the kids end up in the hospital and sometimes in the ICU.
And inflammation in blood vessels as well?
Yes. So it's very different parts, different organs in the body. So the inflammation can be the fever. What's thought is the body, when it makes the antibodies, so it's not during the active COVID infection, it's after the body has sort of cleared the infection. The immune system and the antibodies that are created are in overdrive and going after systems of the natural body. So this can be the blood vessels around the heart, the blood's tendency to clot, the heart function, like I mentioned, sometimes some kidney or liver issues as well.
Dr. Schultz, we know fever has been talked about. What are some of the other symptoms?
Yeah, so fever is definitely the symptom we see the most often. It's been reported in 100% of the children we've seen in the United States with MISC. So that's definitely the most prominent symptom, usually for 3-4 days, as Dr. Hansen had said. Probably second most common is the GI symptoms, so abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, nausea. And then we also see a lot of rash in kids. The rash is pretty variable. Sometimes it's itchy, sometimes it's painful, can really happen all over the body. But those 3 symptoms are the main ones we're looking for. There are a few others that we've seen that are a little less common, like red eyes, swollen or red lips and tongue, swollen and red hands and feet, cough, headache, lethargy, even sometimes some hallucinations or altered mental status.
We are talking with Dr. Megan Schultz, an emergency care specialist, Dr. Sheila Hansen, critical care specialist. We're looking at pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome, or MISC, and how it may or may not be related to COVID-19. Join in with your questions about it, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Hansen, there were 7 cases. Can you tell us what the status is of those cases? Have those children recovered?
Yes, all of our cases have recovered, which is pretty typical. Like you said, this is a rare disease, and most children do quite well. Some are not hospitalized. Those that are hospitalized often are just a day or two. There is a small proportion that can have some serious complications and end up needing ICU care. There have been several deaths worldwide. So that also brings us concern that even with the best ICU care. But in general, it's a disease that with the right support, you're supporting the organs that need help, the body will recover and the children do just fine.
Have there been any more cases since those 7?
So So the cases are defined as either confirmed or suspicious, because some of the lab confirmation takes a while to come back. Mm-hmm. And so my unofficial count is a few higher than the seven. I'm not sure how many of them will end up being confirmed as MISC.
Dr. Schultz, at what time should parents and caregivers take action if they think they're seeing symptoms? When should they call their pediatrician?
Yeah, that's a great question, one we get often in the ER. You know, we're heading into the summer season when there's a lot of other viruses besides the coronavirus out and about. So, you know, enterovirus is one specific virus we see a lot of that also causes GI symptoms and rash and fever. So it can be tricky. I think just in general for parents to be aware that this is something we're seeing more and more now in the United States, and to be in close contact with your pediatrician. If your child has, you know, more than 3 days of fever and any of the symptoms I outlined before, as far as abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, rash, just give your pediatrician a call. Many of the lab tests that we do to screen for and assess for the multisystem inflammatory syndrome can be done at the pediatrician's office. Of course, if your child is very ill, such as, you know, altered mental status or lethargic, or, you know, you're concerned they might be in shock, then of course come to the emergency department and we'll do those same tests in the ER.
Dr. Hansen, we're seeing emerging cases around the country of this syndrome. 32 children appear to have MISC in New Jersey. Are you watching the trends around the country?
We are, and the world of pediatrics is actually known for sharing, because we have such more small populations and of disease than the adults. So at these other centers, New York, in Ohio, and in Detroit, they're rapidly publishing their case reports. They're putting them on listservs. What do the patients look like? How are they doing? What labs are they checking? And so then each group can then combine that with what's going on locally and come up with the best strategies to screen for these patients, take care of these patients, and monitor their recovery.
A tandem question. Michael from Racine emailed us this morning, wants to know if there have been international reports of the illness and how physicians in other countries are handling it.
Yeah, and that's where it first came from. So the UK is probably the most one that's been disseminated or spread the most. Their cases, I think they had another 30 or so patients where when they put together their hospitals. And they found that about 3 to 4 weeks after the peak of the respiratory COVID, there seemed to be this unusual pediatric peak, which turned out to be the multisystem inflammatory syndrome. And they published and shared with us on different webinars through the CDC the results of, again, what their children look like, how they were treated, and what the outcomes were.
Do you feel like you know what to watch for? You know, kind of have a handle on what you should be looking for?
Yes and no.
Okay.
When you put the whole worldwide numbers together, they're still pretty small.
Mm.
So when you're trying to look at really specific stuff and things that may not present classically, no, we don't have a lot of information about that. But we do have a lot of this is what we call supportive care, taking care of organs that aren't working well, like the heart or the lungs or the blood clotting system. We have experience with that. And so that gives us a great advantage, and we can and help get the kids through this.
We're talking about multisystem inflammatory syndrome, or MISC, with a pair of physicians from Children's Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee. We have emergency care specialist Megan Schultz, critical care specialist there Sheila Hansen. What questions do you have about MISC? What do you want to know about symptoms and treatment? Does your child have a weakened immune system, and are you concerned about them being susceptible? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're learning about multisystem inflammatory syndrome, or MISC, with a pair of physicians from Children's Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last week, the hospital identified cases of MISC, the rare inflammatory condition, in children and teens that may be associated with the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. What do you want to know about how the spread of MISC is going and the risk? Are you keeping your children out of activities this summer, out of precaution? Are you taking their temperature more often? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We have emergency care specialist Megan Schultz and critical care specialist Sheila Hansen who stay with us. Let's take a call now. Deborah is joining us from Madison. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm just curious to know, when do you identify the difference between a child that just has hand, foot, and mouth disease, like the Coxsackie virus thing that kids pass around in daycare centers and all that, but the symptoms sound almost identical until they get really severe? At what point do you decide this is not just hand, foot, and mouth, this needs to be seen?
Deborah, thank you. Dr. Schultz.
Yes, thank you for your question. So this is part of the really difficult situation that we're dealing with, both as parents and as physicians. You know, the novel coronavirus is novel, so we are all learning about it really all over the world. And how to differentiate the symptoms of MISC from, like you say, a very common virus like Coxsackie virus or hand, foot, mouth is pretty tricky. So what we would do as physicians is a number of laboratory tests, blood tests, to really assess for this diffuse inflammation that Dr. Hansen had mentioned. So your typical Coxsackie virus or hand, foot, mouth, for those parents who may not know or those listeners who may not know, that really causes kind of like a blistery, ulcerated rash within the mouth, on the hands and feet, and sometimes the diaper area. Very common in daycares, as the caller said. However, that does usually, 9 times out of 10, does not cause the systemic inflammation. So things we're looking for as physicians would be issues with the clotting systems, like Dr. Hansen said. We can do lab tests for that. Issues with the heart, inflammation of the vessels around the heart, lab tests would tell us that. So as a parent, I would say, if your child has a rash and 3 or 4 days of fever, I'd call your pediatrician. To clarify, I think by definition, you know, there's now CDC definitions and WHO definitions of MISC, and by both organizations' definitions, this is associated with the coronavirus. So you either have a positive PCR test, you either have a positive antibody test, meaning you fought off the illness and you are now you have antibodies against it, mm-hmm. or you have a positive exposure in your family. So this is definitely associated with coronavirus. And to differentiate between MISC and other viruses, usually need some lab tests to be done.
Let's bring in another question. Sarah is with us from Columbus with a question related to Kawasaki disease. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So I'm a mom of a kiddo who had Kawasaki back when he was about 3. I also teach 3rd grade. So hearing the statements about, you know, this is like Kawasaki's kind of freaked me out because that was a really ridiculously scary point in my life as a parent. So I'm wondering, does that also, I'm thinking back to how his glands swelled up and, you know, it looked like he had half a grapefruit stuck on the side of his neck. Is that something that's showing up at all? And then has gamma globulin also been used with this or not?
Dr. Hansen?
Yes. So there is a lot of overlap and similarity between Kawasaki's disease or some of the features of Kawasaki's disease and the MISC. So sometimes kids will get the one-sided swelling of their lymph nodes, in addition to the red eyes and the rash. I think and they have the persistent fever, which is kind of the hallmark of Kawasaki. So some of our workup is the same, the echocardiogram to look and make sure that the coronary arteries around the heart are healthy and not dilated. And some of the treatments that are being used are similar. So the IVIG, which is the immune globulins that we give to Kawasaki's patients, are frequently given to patients who have the MISC, depending on the degree of inflammation and what the specific symptoms are. So there is overlap, but there are some differences in that the COVID-related MISC, there's some laboratory things that are a little bit different than Kawasaki's. The markers of inflammation, such as ferritin, are very high in COVID, and more normal to slightly high in Kawasaki disease. And there's some other kind of technical differences between the two at presentation.
We're talking with Dr. Sheila Hansen, a critical care specialist at Children's Wisconsin in Milwaukee. Dr. Schultz, Megan Schultz, an emergency care specialist at Children's Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions as we look at MISC, multisystem inflammatory syndrome. Are you concerned about your child? And what questions do you have about symptoms and care? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Schultz, your hospital created a task force to look at MISC, and it seems as if there are multiple specialists needing to work on these cases as you talk about cardiology and infectious disease and rheumatology. What will this task force do?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. There's many different teams needed to assess for this disease, as well as sort of figure out what to do, how to treat them, and how to report them appropriately. So the task force right now, we are doing chart reviews of patients who sound like this, trying to really diagnose this correctly and accurately. We are developing plans, essentially. So when a patient who could have MISC shows up at their pediatrician's office, what does that pediatrician do? What labs do they order? What's the next step? When the patient shows up in the ER, what should all ER, you know, providers do for that patient? Just so we sort of have a systematized plan of attack, if you will. And similarly with infectious disease, rheumatology, cardiology, we have the hospitalist service as well. So those kids who aren't sick enough to need the ICU, but can just stay in the regular inpatient wards. We really want to make sure we're all, you know, aware of the same research and working toward the same goal to get these kids excellent care.
What do we know about the spread, how contagious it is?
Yeah, so because it's associated with the coronavirus, the child was actually contagious much earlier. The cases that we've seen, the children had no symptoms of coronavirus themselves, so they may have had a family member who had symptoms. So they would be more considered the asymptomatic from the COVID virus itself. And then post-infection, when the inflammatory system, after the antibodies have formed, kind of goes haywire, that's when they get sick and they're no longer infectious now. So the best way to avoid MISC is to avoid getting the COVID exposure.
We know that COVID-19 disproportionately affects people of color. Is this true in what you're seeing right now for MISC, Dr. Schultz?
Within our hospital, no. Our patients with MISC have sort of been representative of our patient population in general.
And Dr. Hansen, what would you say to pediatricians out there as they do receive patients and they are looking at so many different illnesses and issues each day and trying to figure out when they should order tests and how they should go about making sure that they don't miss something?
It is scary, right? Because we're coming up upon the GI season of vomiting and diarrhea viruses, which often present often fever and abdominal pain. So the pediatrician has a hard job. And so that's one of the reasons why we're trying to come up with guidelines that each individual person doesn't have to review the literature and come up with their game plan. And then, of course, we have a lot of specialists available to help. So if there's any specific questions or a consult is needed, there's lots of resources here at Children's. I think this is in the pediatric community, people are aware of it and will probably be more worried than we may have been last year about somebody coming in with 3 days fever and some pretty bad belly pain. But that, I think, like Dr. Schultz said, we're getting to know this complication, and as we get more information, we'll be able to share it.
What can parents do on their end to make sure that they're doing all they can to keep their child safe and healthy, Dr. Schultz?
I mean, as Dr. Hansen said, the MISC itself is not infectious, but coronavirus is. So I really just urge all families to be really careful this summer. You know, wear a mask, wash hands, avoid touching your face, avoid large gatherings. This is not, unfortunately, going to be the summer of, you know, big weddings and concerts. And so even if your child is asymptomatic from coronavirus, which is great, just because this is a novel disease we're still learning about, like, we didn't know MISC existed just 6 months ago. So I would just be really, really careful as a parent. You know, avoid the coronavirus and you can avoid MISC.
Well, thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Dr. Megan Schultz, emergency care specialist. Dr. Sheila Hansen, a critical care specialist. They're at Children's Wisconsin, a pediatric hospital in Milwaukee. Coming up, we talk with a protester and activist from Milwaukee about the demonstrations against police brutality in our state's largest city. Tracy Dent co-founded the Milwaukee Coalition Against Hate. We'll be back with him right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.